Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, I bring you the interview of Ellen Rudnick Herr. You're going to love it, and of course, I've got some of your favorite Messianic tunes as well. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbat, Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings.
Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Well, I'm getting really excited. In just 1 week, on Saturday, June 17th, Ted Pierce is coming to Shema Yisrael. He is an amazing worship leader. So if you are in the Rochester area, please come on out to Shema Yisrael, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, for our Shabbat service on Saturday, June 17th at 10 o'clock a.m. Here is one of Ted's newest songs, Praise You.
Praise is awaiting you in Zion, O God. And to you our vows will all be fulfilled. Oh, you who hears our prayers, it is to you that all shall come. Praise you, praise you. All the earth will shout and the rocks cry out as we praise you. Praise you, praise you. nation, everyone gonna praise you. You crown the seasons with your goodness, pastures of the wilderness overflow, meadows are clothed with flocks and valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy, oh yes, they sing.
Shalom, y'all. This is Ted Pierce coming from Texas. Don't change that dial. You are listening to my fabulous friend Ethel Chadwick on Bagels and Blessings. Tune in every week for the best in radio. Thank you.
So just to get you really excited about coming to Shemaya Israel on June 17th to hear and see Ted Pierce, let me just play another one of his songs. This is the one that worship leaders do in Messianic congregations all over the world. We love all of his songs, but this one really seems to be a favorite. Hallelu et Adonai. Let us praise the Lord.
Praise him with the cymbals, praise him with the dance, praise him with the shofar, praise him with your hands, praise him with the timbrel, praise him with the harp, praise him with the drum and the flute, praise him with your heart. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, et Adonai, Hallelujah, Adonai, Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Praise Him with the cymbals. Praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the shofar. Praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute. Praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. And let everything that has breath come and praise the Lord. Praise Him with your hand. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute. And praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for my interview with Ellen Rudnick-Herr. In the meantime, here is a song from Becca Shea. And I just really admire how she can take a song that is so secular and make it into something holy. Here is her version of The Middle.
That I am an heir, it's time to declare that you're my guy and I'm so blessed. I've been predestined and I am your most prized possession. So draw me closer, I wanna be real close. Ruach HaKodesh, take over, let your glory overflow. Mashiach, Holy One of Israel, Yeshua. You'll call me on, hallelujah. Baruch Haba Hashem, Yahweh Adonai, my El Shaddai. Just you through it all, my faith is set. My heart is pumping, I know you're coming. How do I make much of the time? I'll keep on pressing. I got my mind set on your presence. So draw me closer, I wanna be real close. Ruach HaKodesh, take over. Let your glory overflow. Mashiach. Oh, cause you're coming for your bride on wings of grace and mercy. Come soon and find us worthy. Mashiach, Holy One of Israel, Yeshua. You've called me your own, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh Adonai, my El Shaddai.
Again, that was Becca Shea, and next up, a beautiful song from Sarah Lieberman. It's called The Great Exchange, and I always knew it was a beautiful song, but I had never seen the YouTube video that goes along with it. And if you look up The Great Exchange, The Girl Who Broke the Alabaster Jar, you'll see what I'm talking about. In the meantime, enjoy this beautiful song.
Your presence is all I need. Your spirit, God, to walk with me. I surrender at your feet. All I am, I give to you, my King. All of me, for all of you, I give all of me to gain all of you. Your presence is all I seek.
All of you, I give all. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
So I'm sitting here in my home studio, and it's Sunday, June 4th, but I realize this is going to air on Saturday, June the 10th. But today, I'm going to a wedding, so I want to say Mazel Tov to Bob and Teresa. And I hope you have many, many happy years together. And often when I hear this next song, I always think of a Jewish wedding. Here's Marty Goetz with Hava Nagila, which means, let us rejoice.
Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila Ben Yisraha. Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila Ben Yisraha. Hava Neranana, Hava Neranana, Hava Neranana.
Habana, 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 Hab Havana, ranana, Havana, ranana, Havana, ranana, Venice, papa.
Shalom, this is Marty Goetz, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
As you know from listening to my recent broadcasts, Jonathan Sittell went home to be with the Lord recently, and I miss him, and so glad that I got to meet him, and here's a beautiful song, Hinei Matovu Manayim, Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Enjoy.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov, hine matov. La 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 la. Hine matov, hine matov. La 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 la. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim. Hine matov, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov umanayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine matov umanayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Shevet achim gam yachad.
Wow, what a voice. Incredible. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and it's almost time for my interview with Ellen Rudnick Herr, but here's Sue Samuel with Ma Tovu. Here's my interview with Ellen Rudnick-Herr. Enjoy. Ellen Rudnick-Herr, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here. This is really going to be exciting.
Well,
to be able to talk to you.
I'm excited too. And, you know, a lot of people are down on social media, but, you know, I have made more contacts within the Messianic movement just from Facebook alone. And it's been a real blessing to find another person such as yourself. So I'm thrilled.
Me too. Me too. I was really excited to hear from you. And I've been really looking forward to this.
Great. Well, Ellen, let's start at the beginning. As we say in Hebrew, the Bereishit, at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about growing up. Did you grow up in a traditional Jewish home?
Yes, I grew up in a very traditional Jewish home. I was born and raised in California, and we moved to this very small town where there were not many Jewish people. So my mother and father started the first synagogue in this town. So, yes, I was attached to the community with all the holidays and everything. So, yes, I did.
Wow.
Had a great, great memories of growing up in a Jewish home and in the synagogue.
Okay, so you had a really good Jewish background. What about friends that were Christians or friends? Did any of your friends ever talk about Jesus, or did you never even think about him as a child?
No, they talked about Jesus all the time. We were in this small California town, so it wasn't really like a small East Coast town where you're surrounded by a lot of Jewish people. Most of my friends were Christians, except the ones in synagogue. When I see them on the weekends. So I was surrounded by a lot of Christians, all Christians in my neighborhood. So I heard about Jesus my whole life.
Wow. So there must have come a time when someone either invited you to a church or shared the gospel with you. Tell me a little bit about how you found out about Jesus being the Messiah for the Jews.
Well, it was kind of interesting. It's a long story, but I'll make it really short.
Well, it's okay. We got some time.
You know, I grew up in the 60s, and, you know, in the early 60s, the late 60s, I should say, there was what you would call a revival in the Christian world going on. And there was a little revival service in our town in one of the churches. So a friend of mine invited me. I was about 17 years old. So that's when I really first heard about Yeshua. And it was funny because I came home. They gave me a Bible. The church, the pastor, as you're walking out, gave everybody a Bible. So I came home with this Bible under my arm, and I was telling my parents, I found Jesus. I was 16, 17 years old. So that was probably the first time and I really felt that I, you know, really came to know Jesus at that point, but it didn't really stick, but it was always in the back of my mind. So that was really the first time. But it was when I was a little older, 23, when I really heard about Yeshua being the Jewish Messiah.
Mm.
That's when I really turned my life over to Yeshua. But it was a seed planted when I was about 16 years old, visiting a church.
Well, Ellen, I have to ask, when you came home all excited that you found Jesus, your parents, they started a synagogue. They're proud of their Jewish heritage. What was their reaction?
You know, they were kind of, you know, the 60s parents, at least in my family, not just in my family, but it seemed like, you know, quite often, they were always trying to be kind of cool because we were hippies and trying to find our way. So they were trying to understand us and everything. So they said to me, well, whatever makes you happy, whatever brings you peace, whatever brings you joy. That was basically their reaction. They were never upset with me about my faith. And they were very traditional, very strong. They very strong, observant Jewish people, both my mother and my father, originate. They came from, you know, they moved out to California from New York, and very strong, but they just wanted their kids at that point to be happy, and they saw I was happy, so they thought that was fine.
What an interesting reaction. My goodness. Okay, right. So then fast forward a little bit, when you're 23 and you really became committed, did their attitude change, or were they ever interested in what you believed, or what happened?
Yeah, their attitude did change. I think my parents, the reason their attitude was a little bit different than some parents, you know, from an Orthodox or conservative background, their attitude was a little bit different because my brother had married a Catholic woman, and they were not happy about that. And because of that, it really alienated their relationship. And I was the younger sister, so I have a feeling they didn't want to alienate me because they had already alienated him by, you know, telling him, you know, no, you should not marry a Catholic. You're to marry a Jewish woman. And he was not happy with that response. So I don't think they, I think they were trying a different reaction with me, so it wouldn't hurt our relationship.
Oh, but, okay. So did your life change after making your commitment to follow the Lord?
Oh, yes. It did 100%. I was 23. I was living in Los Angeles. I had moved down there, and I always loved Judaism. I was not one of those people who had any problem. I love Judaism. You know, I know people that walked away after their bar mitzvah. They were not interested, but I always loved Judaism. So when I moved down to Los Angeles, I went to synagogue every Friday night. I continued doing what I always did growing up, but I felt very empty inside. I became very depressed, very, very alienated. I came from a very small town to a very big city. And I was just really searching for the truth. And like I said, this was back in the, now it was back in the 70s. And I would visit synagogues every week searching for God. And I always left. I loved the service. I always left the same, though. I felt alienated. I just felt, I don't know what was wrong with me at that point, but I really had a disconnection to God at that point, living in the city. And plus, that was at the time when a lot of Jewish young people were coming to know Yeshua. So my background wasn't, you know, I know a lot of people have the same kind of what you would call a testimony, no matter what side of the country they were in. I would listen to people in, on the East Coast talk about the same kind of experience that I had coming to know Yeshua, and we didn't even know each other, but it was happening all over the United States at that point. And it was just a move of God, I believe, and I was searching. I was searching, so I had a heart looking for God, and then there was a move of God, and it completely changed my life. When I came to know him, I was in my room in my apartment by myself, and I, at that point, you know, back in the 70s, they would talk to us about how to accept Yeshua into your heart and to pray the prayer and this and that. And I did, and accepted Yeshua into my heart. And the next morning I woke up and I felt like a completely different person. I mean, all the depression, alienation, everything was just gone. So,
did you understand what had happened? Did you feel like you had suddenly converted to Christianity and that you were no longer Jewish? Or what were your feelings about that?
No, I never felt that way because I was attending a church at that point. I mean, for years I've been involved with Judaism, Messianic Synagogue, but at that point I was attending, I had been invited to a church from, excuse me, from people at work had invited me to a church. And the Bible studies and the services were conducted by, he was an author, Hal Lindsey. And so the people there, the teachers, were very much, knew a lot about Israel, and they would talk to me and tell me, you know, you're Jewish, this is your Messiah, and the Sunday school classes were all about Israel and how Lindsay gave prophecies every week. That was where he attended. So I never felt alienated. I felt like I connected with Israel. I understood the plan for Israel, and knowing the Messiah gave me such a completion of who the Messiah really is, and the purposes of Israel, and the purposes of the Jewish people. And it just was like a puzzle that all fit together. So I never felt like I left Judaism.
I got to tell you that when you mentioned how Lindsay, my jaw just about hit the floor, I have talked to so many people that tell me that his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, was a big part of their realizing who Jesus really was. And I'm like, she just said she was under his tutelage. She saw him face to face. He was her teacher. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I felt like I learned so much at that church. I felt so blessed, so to speak, to be under that kind of teaching. And I went to Israel. They had tour groups to Israel at that point at that church, and everybody said to me, you know, you're Jewish, you need to go to Israel, and how Lindsay's leading the tour. And so I saved up my money. I was young, and I went to Israel with Hal Lindsay and his group. And so I learned so much over in Israel, and I was just I felt so honored to be able to learn so much over the years at that specific church.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So what would you say today? I never know who's listening. My audience is primarily Christian. There could be a Jewish person here or there that listens, but let's say there's somebody Jewish listening. What would you say to them about why you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus as the Messiah?
Well, I've always been one to believe that you can definitely stay Jewish and believe in the Messiah, that you don't become a Christian. To me, when I became a believer in Yeshua, it was a completion of everything that I was looking for. It wasn't taking away. I wasn't taking away from the Sabbath. I wasn't taking away from being kosher. I wasn't taking away from anything that I had learned growing up, because I didn't need to take away from that. But I realized that through the prophecies specifically, the prophecies of Israel, the prophecies of the Messiah, reading scripture, Isaiah, and other scriptures, that I could be who I was and know the Messiah. And the difference is that I was now a Jewish person who had peace. I wasn't a Jewish person that was full of anxiety, full of worry, always wondering what's going to happen to me, always, you know, fear. I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. That was gone. I wasn't looking to get rid of it, but it just, when I asked Yeshua into my life and into my heart, he just set me free from so many worries that I had had. I mean, it was supernatural. It wasn't something I was looking for, and I wasn't looking for a God that was going to take everything away from me. It just was part of who he is and what he wanted to do for us. So you can definitely be Jewish and believe in Yeshua.
Amazing.
You know, as long as, you know, you don't, it's not by works that we're saved, it's by salvation. But the works is separate from living the life as a Jewish person. You can always live the life of a Jewish person, but salvation is, of course, by grace.
Amen, amen. One thing I realized after becoming a believer in Yeshua is that our Jewish people have a misunderstanding about the word Christian. Growing up, we just assumed you're either Jewish or you're Christian. And we just lumped everybody who wasn't Jewish into the category Christian. But then after becoming a true follower and believer in Yeshua the Messiah, then I learned that Christian means follower of the Christ, follower of the Mashiach. And when Jewish people say you can't be Jewish and Christian, I think they're really saying you can't be Jewish and Gentile, because to them, Christian and Gentile mean the same thing. And it, you see what I mean? Like, our people are confused.
Right, right. Christian, you know, when they, as a Jewish person, we look at non-Jewish people as those who have a completely different religion. I know I was growing up thinking that Yeshua, Jesus, was for the Gentiles, and we had God, and they had Jesus. I always felt that he died for them. I never felt like he died for me, but he died for them. So it was a separate God who died for them. That's how, that was my thinking as a child growing up, and I know that was the thinking of my parents. You know, he's for them.
Oh, yeah. Kind of the us and them mentality.
Right, right. And so we really have such a, we're not clear on really what is a Christian, what is a Gentile, what's the difference between a Christian, a Gentile, and a Jewish person. And there's differences, but the Jewish community doesn't understand that, you know, they've not really been told that. And also when they, you know, the history during the Holocaust and things like this, they see those people killed Jewish people.
Right.
That's a whole different religion. So who wants anything to do with that religion?
Of course.
And so it's the education that needs to be taught is there's a lot that needs to be explained and understood. And another thing is if you're a Jewish believer and you've completely abandoned your Jewish heritage for whatever reason, I'm not judging it, but if you're in a church and you call yourself a Christian and you're a pastor or whatever, and that's fine if that's where God's called you to, I'm not judging it, a Jewish person is going to see you as somebody different too, that you've taken on a whole different religion, and they're going to see it the same way they grew up. Well, yeah, they believe in Jesus, and they were Jewish, and now they're in church, and now they're Christian. So it's confusing.
Yep, there's that
it's
word
confusing to them.
Converted, and I like to say I have not converted to another religion, but my heart is converted. And I talk about, I think it's Deuteronomy 30 verse 10, it talks about circumcising the foreskin of our heart. It's one thing to have a heart conversion, but they see it as we've converted to another religion.
Right, right. And I felt that way growing up too, and my parents felt that way growing up too. It's just how you're taught, and it's just what you see is the culture around you. And that's why I'm always so careful. I have a quick story about that. Sure. I was sharing with some rabbis out in California, out in the streets. One night, the Hasidic rabbis were out there, and one of the rabbis asked me to come into his office. He wanted to ask me what happened to me. So I told him, I said, well, I keep the Sabbath. He asked me questions. Do you keep the Shabbat candles? I mean, do you light the Shabbat candles? Yes. Do you keep the Sabbath? Yes. Do you eat kosher? Yes. And he looked at me very strangely. He goes, I've never met anyone who believes in Jesus, who's Jewish, who is doing all those things for him. It was the first time. I'm not saying I was the first one, but for him, it was the first time.
Wow.
And it really hit him because all of a sudden this was presented in a Jewish manner, and he didn't realize that you could be Jewish and you could do all those things. He thought he'd have to give all that up.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Amazing, amazing. Well, how does your extended Jewish family feel about your involvement in Messianic Judaism?
Fortunately, on my husband's side and on my side, we have a lot of family members who are not believers, but I've really never had a family member who's really criticized us. I've had family members who don't want to spend a lot of time with us because I think we do have our persecutions and and trials that we go through, but we haven't had any family members on either side tell us how wrong we are or that we shouldn't believe this way. But we have had family members who really don't want to spend a lot of time with us.
Well, I'm sure they're
don't want to go to any of our events.
I'm sure they're watching and they see the love of Yeshua and see how you live your life, because so many times we're a silent witness too, right?
Right. Yes. And it seems recently, it seems like the last few years we've had to be a very silent witness. There's been a lot of conflict, spiritual conflict, and it's been harder to really share with people. So I've had to really switch over to, you know, try to improve myself, you know, aww, to be a light, because it doesn't sound like they want to listen to me very much.
Oh,
and I think a lot of people have been going through that.
Well, Ellen, we're almost out of time, but I'm wondering, how would you like us to be praying for you or your family?
Oh, my goodness. As you know, the last 3 years, it's been very difficult, I think, for everybody, whether you're Jewish or whether you're not Jewish. And I think in the Jewish community, it's been very difficult, too. And just would love to see reconciliation amongst my family members in terms of, not that they've been angry about our faith, but to be able to desire to spend time with us, come to our Passovers and, you know, come visit our family, come to our fellowship and spend time with us. And that's what I would love to see, because that's really been the hardest thing, not being able to spend as much time with family as I'd like to. Mm-hmm. And I know it's because of our faith.
Well, and the Lord open their hearts.
That would change with a lot of people.
Oh, yes, yes. May the Lord open their hearts and receive the love from the Lord and from you guys that you have to give them. And may the Lord give you favor and open doors for you to walk through. And may He use you to share the good news to lots and lots of people.
Oh, well, thank you. That would be wonderful. That would be my dream.
Amen. Amen.
That's what I've always wanted to do.
Well, this has been a really fun interview. And real quick before we end, I have to tell you that I could really relate to what you were saying about different people coming to know the Lord, like in the 70s, and even though like nobody had talked to each other, but yet you all kind of independently came to the Lord, because that's exactly what my experience was. It was in the 70s, and I had a lot of good friends, but they didn't share with me, and nor I with them, but we found out later that we all became believers right around the same time, so it's really cool that happened, and that's just a move of the Holy Spirit. That's great.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes, it was. It was definitely a move of the Holy Spirit, and that's what changed my life, a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, and I think that's what's going to change other people's lives, is that experience of really knowing God.
Amen. Amen. Well, Ellen, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your life story with me and the listeners. And I hope that we can stay in touch and maybe you can come on the air again sometime.
Oh, I'd love it. It was really fun.
Great. Well, shalom for now.
Shalom.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Ellen Rudnick-Herr. And I want to thank you again for listening to Bagels and Blessings. All right, we have time for one more song. Here is Joshua Aaron.
V'ichunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
way I figure it, you can never have too many blessings. So you just heard Joshua Aaron give us the Aaronic benediction, but now you're also going to hear Philip Stanley Klein give the blessing. And again, I want to thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Until next week.
Yes, Adonai, Panamalecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.